If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this special bonus podcast. The last few weeks of news have been pretty crazy, so late-night producer Henry Melcher and writer Sal Gentile sat down after the show wrapped for the week to talk about how they've stayed sane. Here's their conversation.
Hey, Sal. So the intro there said, we're staying sane. I feel like I'm doing okay.
You seem stable to me.
I seem okay. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah. It's been a big month.
That's the best I can muster for any. The toughest part of these past few weeks in the Trump administration, one of the trickiest things with the Trump administration is people asking you, how are you doing? Because to them, it's just a pleasantry. But to you, it's a thought that you gnaw at constantly in your brain. How am I doing? I'm not okay.
Right.
I'm not doing well.
Right.
So I've just settled on, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
This is how it is now.
This is how it is. So it's May 25th today. We just wrapped our Thursday show. You guys are hearing this May 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So the news with Trump during the campaign and during his presidency has been crazy. There's been so much news. There's been insane stories. But I feel like the last month really has been truly bonkers. As the person who writes The Closer Looks, what has your life been like since May 1?
Well, it's been very little sleep. It's been very scattershot. It's like been very difficult to get a grasp on like what is the sort of predominant story of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you feel like you have a grasp on things until something happens. It really feels like, obviously, things have escalated to a point that they never had before. And
right.
I mean, every time we think that things have escalated or intensified to a point where it feels sort of like absurdly heightened to a degree that it can't be overcome, it is. So
yeah.
I've genuinely lost track of time. We have paper here in front of us that tells us when the news was.
Last week was especially crazy, it seems. It seems like every day last week, there was a story breaking pretty much within an hour of when we tape. We tape at 6:30.
Yes.
There were a lot of 5:30 stories.
Last week was the week when it seemed like the news was intentionally trying to outdo itself every day.
And it did.
And it did.
Yeah.
It genuinely did. Every time you thought there couldn't be another sort of like scintillating morsel of information or something or another scandal,
yeah,
there was. So.
Yeah.
And they did break late in the day. We went through a period, actually, I was thinking about this recently, because we went through a period earlier in the Trump administration when news was breaking at like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, which for those of us who, you know, for The Closer Look, we write the draft overnight. So that would be like especially problematic. That would suck.
So at 9 o'clock, how far into The Closer Look writing process are you?
I would hope generally by design, I'd be mostly the way through because if we try to have a first draft done the night before and then we go from there in the morning. So there's a first draft done. I finish my first draft the night before and send it in. And then I work on it more and it goes through the process that The Closer Looks go through and all scripts go through. So that's the goal, to be like mostly like pretty far along by 9 o'clock. It kind of depends on what the demands of that week have been.
Right.
But that's the goal. But then we would have like, in particular, I remember the Jeff Sessions story of him lying about his
Involvement with the campaign?
Specifically lying about his contacts with the Russian ambassador.
During the campaign.
In Senate testimony. And then it was revealed that he had, in fact, met with the Russian ambassador.
That feels like a story.
That was
from
at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. Yeah. Also, it was a bombshell at the time. And now it feels like.
It feels like course. Six.
If that were to happen now, it feels like six chess moves behind.
Like, I was going to say like six like, presidencies ago. Like, I do remember that. It was Nixon. But that was like a matter of months ago.
Yeah, Nixon's Attorney General, Jeff Sessions.
You know what I mean? It just feels like we're talking about a different era in politics.
It does,
and this was a 600 scandals ago.
The frustrating thing about it, I've actually think about this too, is it's. I don't think it's definitely not good. I don't think anyone would agree it's good.
This constant chaos?
Yes. But
no.
right. No, obviously. Obviously, the constant chaos is not good.
Right.
For a variety of reasons. For the substance and the self, for the merits of what we're talking about, the thing that
but
we're
back
talking,
to
the things
us
that we're talking about are not good. Well, but I've also been thinking lately that it's not good for people, just in general, for democracy.
Right, of course.
No, but the difference is I'm not talking about the merits or the substance of it. That's obviously on its face, prima facie bad.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like just the amount of news.
Oh yeah.
Like in a democracy, you should be able to defer decisions to elected representatives and then go about your day and lead like interesting, enriched lives. And like everyone now has to constantly pay attention to the news. Like you're constantly inundated by politics. And it's kind of toxic. Like it's not, I feel it.
I
feel
too,
like,
and
you know, we have to swim in it every day. Mm-hmm. It's not
good.
But
it's hard to avoid. There's so much interest in this presidency. There's so much going on. You're seeing breaking news banners pretty much constantly. You pretty much never look at it.
The interest, I feel like, it's not intellectual curiosity. The interest is not like, oh, there's a boom in interest in like, you know, research into various types of rare birds or something. It's not like suddenly people are just interested in politics.
That sounds great.
It's because, but it's not because people are just happen to have intellectual curiosity about politics. People do. Mm-hmm. They definitely do. But like, it's because it feels like our system is creaking under the under the pressures of what's happening, and so people are like genuinely worried, and that's why they're
and it's not news of concerned. Policy. It's not like we're breaking news like a new policy was tweaked or changed or passed. It's scandal. It's someone being exposed for lying. It's investigations.
Yeah.
It's
but anyway. So
can you? I think it'd be interesting to talk about when a story breaks 5:30, what you do.
Well, there's a variety of things that could happen. So. The story breaks, we're aware of it. We had to find a way to talk about it in the closer look. Now, obviously, last week, all these stories were sort of a piece with each other because they were about this unfolding Russia investigation and more specifically, the president's apparent attempt to obstruct justice in the investigation. So they were all kind of a piece with each other. Explain his shifting story on firing Comey and that kind of thing. So it wasn't hard. It wasn't like we were trying to sort of like ham-fistedly put something into the closer look. But, you know, obviously we have some of these stories, we had 45 minutes before the show tapes to figure out a way to address it. And in some cases, it's literally just mentioning it, finding a place to mention like this just happened. We'll cover it more in the show tomorrow. In other cases, it's huddling to try to figure out a joke. There were a couple cases where we huddled, you know, me, Seth, Alex Bays, the head writer, Shoemaker, the producer of the show, and like try to figure out really quickly like, do we have a joke on this that we can throw in? And then obviously the support staff, our staff is incredible in sort of turning that around, because, and Seth has mentioned this and it's completely true, to think of a joke could take, just putting aside the quality of the joke obviously,
seconds.
Yeah, right. But it doesn't take that long to think of a joke,
right?
Whether it's good, it probably takes a little longer, and ideally it takes longer to think of like the best stuff we can think of. That's why we spend all day writing jokes and rewriting jokes. But like in the moment, if we're just like, we got to come up with a joke, it could take 5 minutes to come up with a joke.
Yeah.
But for them, they're up against very real time constraints. Like they have to get changes into script very quickly, and cue cards have to change very quickly, and elements, like if we ask for a clip, the clip researchers have to find it, and the editors have to get it to the control room like very quickly. These people are up against real deadlines and time constraints, and they've done like an incredible job.
Incredible job.
Executing. So, and you know, we've never really, like, I don't think, as far as I can recall, we never started a show late or significantly late, maybe like 2 or 3 minutes.
So,
but that, you know, we've slowly sort of built up the system around being able to accommodate late breaking news, but it's hard. So we just throw in a mention, try to explain the news.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a preview for what we're going to talk about tomorrow, which in a lot of cases turns out to not even be true, because then by the time the next day comes around, there's more news that's
right.
You know, I mean, last week, I'm trying to look at the piece of paper here that we have.
This is a stunning piece of paper. This is just like a breakdown of what's happened in the past 25 days.
It's insane.
It's Sally Yates testifies was 3 weeks ago. And again, that feels like we're talking about a different
right,
like era in American history.
Yeah. So we came in on, was it last week? I feel insane. So last week on Monday was the week we came in. And on Monday, we already had what was essentially sort of like the shifting story of the firing of James Comey.
Yeah.
Which was the stuff he had told Lester Holt at the end of previous week, that yep. he had done it because of the Russia investigation. The threatening of tapes, which, by the way, that is now just gone tapes to history. That yeah. the president of the United States like implied that he has secret recordings of his yeah. conversations in the Oval Office and threatened the former
we
FBI
were
director
outraged for 40, 45
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, like
one
we
day.
45 minutes to care about that. And then, you know, fuck it. Who cares? He has secret recordings. We have to move on. And then, fine. Okay, okay. Yeah, the president has secret recordings. And then, well, but he told the president, he told Russia classified information. So yeah. it doesn't matter anymore
okay,
if
so
he has tapes.
Yeah.
So that was that day that we had that. And then yeah. obviously it was reported that Trump had given the Russians classified information in that Oval Office meeting.
Let me jump in really quickly. Yeah. So that day, so I work on the interviews here and mm-hmm. I often do the political yeah. interviews. And that day, Senator Ben Sasse was on the show. So on my right. end, that's an interesting thing.
What day
thing.
Was that?
That was 6 years ago. It was May. No. It was 6 years ago, May 15th, 2017.
But, man, what day of the week was that? What day of the week
May 15th,
was May 15th?
It was a Monday or a Tuesday. And it was a Monday. It was a Monday, I believe, because I
okay. right.
had a conversation with Senator Ben Sasse on Friday, because for the interviews, you kind of chat with the guests ahead of time to mm-hmm. Get a sense of what they maybe want to talk about.
Right.
Just general ideas. And we're on the call, and the first thing I said to him was, Senator, we're so excited to have you on the show. You're going to be there Monday. I figured we could talk about some stuff now that's in the news. And by Monday, that will be ancient history.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost all of what we talked about on the phone did not make it anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Into the interview by Monday, because Monday comes Absolutely. And Trump just revealing some highly classified intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
To some Russian...
yeah, code word information to the Russian ambassador and foreign minister in the
right,
Oval Office.
Right, in the Oval Office. So when that happens, I, of course, chatted with the senator ahead of time and you know, yeah. said, I think we're going to change things. I think we're going to talk a little bit about
yeah.
the breaking news.
Right.
But other days, I get lucky because every day when there's a breaking political story, you have to deal with it in terms of the closer look or
right.
you know, writing it into the show. But sometimes I'll be producing just like
yeah.
a non-political guest, and right. I'll see a massive story break. I'll be like, oh, man. That doesn't change anything for me tonight. And this
doesn't
is
affect
on
my
May,
life in any way. I pity the people who do have to deal with this.
Yeah. On May 16th, I got a text message from my dad yeah. about this was a story that Trump had reportedly told Flynn to drop. Trump
and
had
James
reportedly
Cody dropped the investigation
into Flynn. Yeah, exactly.
That was Tuesday, right? 16th is Tuesday. Jesus.
Yeah. So yeah. So I get a text from my dad. I just checked it. It was 5:26 p.m. He, you know, gives me the news. I see it. Within literally 1 second, you walk by our office and screamed, why does this always happen within an hour of the show?
There was a week.
I wasn't even done reading the text message as I saw you, hands up. Why does this always happen yeah, within yeah, an hour yeah, of the yeah. show?
It's pretty incredible. I genuinely had a crazy experience recently where at the end of April, because that was crazy too, like the past several. Do you remember what happened in April?
I cannot.
I'm trying to remember what happened in April.
He was inaugurated. I cannot tell you a single thing that happened in April. Healthcare. Or was that May? There were probably some appointments, right?
I'm at a loss.
Wait, let's try to do this. Let's name one thing that we can that concretely happened in April. Oh, I've got one. Because the labor secretary, former labor secretary under President Obama, Tom Perez, current DNC chair, was on our show last night. I was researching into the current labor secretary who was confirmed by the Senate at the end of April. That was not a major story. I cannot remember a major story from April. That just is something that comes to mind because I read it yesterday. I cannot remember like an actual big scandal or story from April. Maybe nothing happened. Maybe he. Maybe that's when he was president. He was president.
Yeah.
For April.
I have no idea.
This is
Timeless
crazy.
Was canceled. I don't know.
And then uncanceled.
I don't know. Is that what did happen in April? I have no idea. But the only I was just going to say, I had this very bizarre experience where my birthday is April 28th. So I came back to my desk one day at the end of the night.
And you'd aged 17 years in 1 year.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird. Yeah, I teed that up by saying it was a slightly bizarre experience. I came back to my desk and looked in the mirror and I had aged 17 years. And also I knew exactly what 17 years worth of aging would look like. I knew immediately. This is 17 years.
Yeah.
I'm 47 now.
Yeah.
My birthday is on April 28th and I genuinely, Seth had left me a nice note just to say like happy birthday and congrats on all the hard work and everything. And I was like, birthday? My birthday's in like a month.
No.
And that was my birthday. I had no idea that day was my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dark, buddy. That's dark.
Yep. That, well, I'm just going to drink straight from the bottle of scotch that I'm holding right now.
That's literally a thing. Sal is holding a bottle of scotch.
Yeah, I'm drinking because we're at the end of a week.
We're both,
because this is the end of a week before we have a hiatus. And this has been just an absurd period of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to pour myself more scotch. If you want some, I'll pour some.
Ah, sure. Thank you.
So Henry and I are drinking scotch.
Yeah.
The bottle of scotch that I had on my desk. And
thank you.
I just started it today, and I'm halfway through.
That's
it.
That's true. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I've been giving some.
I'm
out.
Still
I don't
stuck
want,
on.
I've been giving some out.
I'm.
But I did start drinking before the show.
Oh, good for you.
I was
yeah.
drinking
good
before
for you.
Before my workday was done.
I am still stuck on what was a major.
Oh, but I was
going to
mention something real quick. But I don't remember. I'm trying to remember what Cold Start Looks we did in April, and I have no earthly idea. I have
oh
no.
Oh my God, this is so mentally straining.
I know. I mean, healthcare stuff happened in April.
Yes. Yeah, healthcare stuff happened in April.
All the Nunes weirdness, that was April, right?
Oh, was that
wasn't
February?
The Nunes saga?
Oh.
Oh,
some Bill O'Reilly
Bill
news
O'Reilly
in April.
Bill O'Reilly was fired or was let go from Fox News.
Yeah.
That was in April. We did
oh
a closer
gosh.
Look about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, anyway.
Jesus.
Back to May. Wow. No. I'm looking at their sheet here. The AHCA, the American Healthcare Act, that was passed
that
in
was
May
4th.
So that's not even a story in April.
Wow.
So where were we? I feel like you've been trying to tell a story since we started. And
well, the 100 days stuff was April. All the 100
okay.
day, all the 100 days stuff was April. Trump saying,
okay.
I didn't know the job was going to be this hard. Him thinking that Andrew Jackson was like, hey,
oh
guys,
gosh.
Stop the Civil War.
And,
don't do the Civil War.
Was that the same month where he said, did you guys know Lincoln was a Republican?
Yeah, yeah.
So that the month he learned mm-hmm. Lincoln was a Republican.
Yeah. And that's the month that we discovered the rule of interpreting Trump when he like wants to share a fact with everyone, which is when he shares that fact and he asks you, did you know this? That means he just learned that thing.
That's right.
So April was the month that our president found out Abraham Lincoln was a Republican.
Better
yeah.
late than never.
Yeah, I guess. He admitted that the job, he thought it would be easier.
Yeah.
The Civil War stuff was fun.
Oh, sure, sure.
Specifically, what was fun about that is Andrew Jackson was like, there's no reason for this. Guys. Stop all this fighting. There's no reason for the Civil War.
Yeah.
Also,
our president's grasp
he
of American
he
history
was
re-
he
is
claims he got
shocking.
This information from reading a book about Andrew Jackson, and he couldn't have gotten very far if he didn't know what the reason for the Civil War was. He was clearly in the first five pages.
He saw a book about Andrew Jackson at a bookstore.
Because somewhere in that book, they're going to mention slavery. And it's probably going to be pretty soon in the book.
Yeah.
If it's about Andrew Jackson
mm-hmm.
and genocide and so forth. And other.
Right.
And he had no idea why the Civil War happened. So, oh, but I was just going to say that there are some. Yeah, right. This story that I've been trying to tell for like 2 years now.
I'm looking forward to it.
No, I was just going to say an example of how we would deal with like. Breaking news differently in some cases mm-hmm. and not others is when the Russian ambassador news broke, we were able to get a couple jokes in that night.
Yeah.
That I feel like that broke with enough time for us to huddle real quickly and be like, we got a couple jokes in. Comey, when it emerged.
The Comey firing. Yeah.
God, I'm trying to remember now. We had a couple jokes about Trump thinking he could get rid of Comey just by firing him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with him hiding behind.
Yeah. But I'm trying to remember what couch. News that was.
I cannot remember. Robert Mueller being appointed special counsel was a story that broke.
Yeah.
I believe within
well, it's
like
insane about
minutes.
That week, too. Yeah, there's that. Right. And that we could just mention. All we did was mention. And we had this whole Law and Order thing going on. We use that. We used it as a callback and a closer look.
Yeah.
But we didn't have like a new joke on that. That happened really late. That happened like 6 o'clock. We taped at 6:30.
Yeah.
So we could barely. We just mentioned it at the end. That was more like, stay tuned for a closer look tomorrow.
That was the day I went up to one of our cameraman Buck and we were standing outside the studio at 5:55 and we were talking about how insane this week had been in news and I was like, well, we beat it this time, nothing within an hour. 5 minutes later I checked Twitter.
I had the exact same experience. One, there was a night where our closer look was finished, it was settled, mm-hmm. it had not been too sort of messy to rewrite. And that, you know, after rehearsal sometimes, especially if rehearsal goes long, you're actually getting pretty close to showtime because our rehearsals at like, we do a rehearsal for a small test audience at like 4:15.
Yeah.
And if rehearsal goes long, it can be like 5:15 when it's over. And if you have a lot of rewrites to do, if I have to sit down and rewrite Closer Look for a while, it can take me a while and things get messy. There was one night where rehearsal had ended pretty early and the rewrites were pretty straightforward to Closer Look from rehearsal. So I sat down, I did it, I put the changes in, I was good, I came back to my desk, it was calm. And I specifically looked at the TV and there was like a breaking news banner was up. And I was like, oh shit, there's more breaking news. But it was just something that had already happened. And it was just cable news rebranding something that we already knew as breaking news, which they do.
Right.
And I specifically turned to our research staff and I was like, oh, thank God. I thought something had happened. And then that was, I'm pretty sure, the night that Comey, it turned out Trump had asked Comey to end the Flynn investigation. It happened like 15 minutes later after I said that.
Two big stories broke this week after we taped, which was the first time.
Yeah.
So yesterday the breaking news was, which was anticipated, but it was still a breaking story, was the CBO scoring the House Republicans' health care bill.
Yeah.
We knew that would be in the afternoon. That appeared in a closer look. Yeah. And it was also, we were very fortunate because we had DNC chair Tom Perez on the show, so we could ask him about that. But then, so we wrapped the show last night. I get on the train, and my entire Twitter feed is about a Republican congressional candidate in Montana body slamming.
It's not,
reporter.
It's so bad, but it's so absurd that it really truly is like an improv scene where. You're trying to heighten, and you just have no place to go, so you do something crazy.
And someone after that show would be like, I don't know, the body slamming thing was a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we were having fun, it was heightening, but, like, the
body
slamming.
Like, you're in the scene, and you feel like it's already at crazy town, and you're like, what else can I do to heighten this? And you do something out of nowhere. Yeah. Body slammed a reporter.
And then tonight.
Yeah, that broke after the show.
Tonight, it's Thursday, May 20th.
Tonight's Closer Look is about that, primarily.
But then after the show, there's some breaking stories about... I believe the FBI looking into...
that Jared Kushner supposedly...
Yeah.
I don't know what the wording they used is.
Exactly, neither.
In the past, Washington Post had described a person of interest in the investigation. I think tonight it's like under scrutiny or something like that.
I saw under scrutiny,
but
yeah.
In some ways...
By the time you listen to this...
In some way, the FBI is sort of looking at Jared Kushner. That's what just sort of revealed.
That broke after our show. I wanted to ask, how do you... As we were saying, everything is kind of breaking news. There's so much going on.
Oh,
breaking news
scotch
banners.
The scotch is very good, by the way. Very good.
Okay. All
very
right.
Strong.
We'll wrap up.
God. What do you want to ask me? God, what are you bothering
come back.
With these questions?
Sal's left the table. How do you know when a breaking news story is
worth
significant enough to get into the show? Because I'm sure there are stories that cable news, Twitter is freaking out about that. We've seen this before, that 10 minutes later, the reporting's not so solid, or this has already been reported, it's being repackaged.
Yeah, yeah.
It's being re-explained, it's being maybe reconfirmed in a different way.
Yeah.
How do you make that judgment call when Twitter and cable news is going insane about something, whether or not you want to include that into...
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I feel like you generally have a sense of whether it's like meaningful in its substance to, like, more specifically, whether it's relevant to what we're talking about that night. Like,
sure.
If it changes the facts of the case or if it adds some dimension, like, obviously, finding out that the former FBI director had written these memos describing his interactions with the president. If you're talking about the president's shifting story on why he fired the FBI director, that's like super meaningful to what you're talking about. Very relevant. And it would be, we'd be remiss if we didn't try to explain that to the audience, because then they'd be getting an incomplete information. So, you know, it is hard to tell sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously cable news has a tendency to treat everything sort of breathlessly.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell, but like, I think mostly the question I think is whether it's relevant to that night's Closer Look. If it's totally irrelevant, everything's pretty much of a piece right now because, as we said before, it's about the investigation. But like, there was information about, there was some story that I remember being sort of like, it seemed like breaking news, but it was actually kind of a restatement of something we already knew to some degree. And I didn't feel like pressure to get into the piece that night.
Right.
So that happens.
Sure.
But usually it's pretty obvious. I mean, usually it's pretty obvious. You know, it's felt weirdly calmer, obviously, because Trump's been out of the country a little bit, which is like, as crazy as things have been, I felt a little more at ease when he's not here.
Sure.
One thing that's genuinely true is he's not watching that much TV, so he's not tweeting insane things.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's not like this sort
exhausted.
Of constant
he can't
dread
stay up.
Of at any moment the president could say something unhinged, could like threaten the FBI director with secret tapes, which it's like, fine, that's just now.
That's a thing.
Yeah. You don't have that same sort of dread anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be a bummer.
He'll
when he
be
comes
back.
Because then, oh, he's coming
he's
back.
He's coming back. It's a return flight.
Theoretically.
It's a multi-city.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be back pretty soon. By the time we get back from hiatus, the president will be back. You know, it's interesting. We are off for a week. You were hearing this in the middle of our hiatus week. Mm-hmm. The amount of things that will happen between Thursday, May 25th, and when we get back following Monday, it's staggering to think about how much will have happened in that.
It's crazy.
Maybe 10-day period.
Who knows? It might. If things keep a pace, I can't possibly imagine what.
You can't. No.
What would happen? I mean, we already know. What more would you have to know to think that the president had tried to obstruct justice? Right? So now consider, like, what else could happen? What else could be unearthed?
Right.
you know, it's beyond even my comprehension to think of, like, what could happen. Something's going to happen that we can't imagine.
Of course.
And that's in itself kind of crazy because, like, generally speaking, you're able to predict what the contours of, like, the political debate are going to be. Like, you can project out, like, existential things that you can't predict.
The healthcare debate has kind of been, it's kind of fallen on expected lines. The Republican healthcare bill does certain things that Republicans like and Democrats don't. That has kind of followed the normal rule of politics.
Yeah.
The bill itself is...
It has also in the sense that nobody likes it.
Yeah.
Which is that, like, political gravity exists still for a lot of Republicans.
Exactly.
It's not like for Trump is sort of the singular figure in that, like, he's been able to have all this electoral political success despite the fact that, like, he does all these seemingly disqualifying things.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that polls show that people overwhelmingly don't like him.
Yeah, and that was true
and yet
in
he's
November.
Still the president of the United States. He still survives all these. So it's tempting to think that political gravity just doesn't apply anymore. And in some cases, I think it doesn't. I have some thoughts about things I think that we traditionally thought mattered don't, and then things that do. But for Republicans, it does matter. Mm-hmm. Like, people hate the Republican healthcare bill. And it's put pressure on certain factions. And the factions and trying to cobble together enough votes from different factions, that's genuinely difficult because of the political realities of the bill.
We both are very passionate about politics. It's been so weird to think and talk and write about politics over the past few months when there is just no policy.
Yeah.
There's been no... The healthcare bill is kind of the only tangible piece of policy that's been...
That's basically why I think, sort of politically speaking, aside from, you know, what we do is commentary and comedy. So we're making jokes about whatever's in the news. But just from, like, a perspective of what's, like, sort of politically more resonant with people... Just my personal theory is that healthcare matters to voters far more than the Russia investigation.
Absolutely.
Because the Russia investigation, it's hard to get purchase on. Like, first of all, you get constant bombshells. You get new stories every day that are tough to follow and make sense of and sort through. And also, it doesn't have, like, a direct impact on people's lives. Mm-hmm. It has a very direct impact on our democratic institutions that people should worry about, and I hope they are worried about. But, like, for that reason that you mentioned, it's, like, tough to get a handle on it. Whereas, because there's no policy, it's just, like... I mean, there's substance, obviously, about
how substance,
our institutions are supposed to function, but there's much more, like, direct sort of substance in terms of, like, how people's lives will change in the immediate term in the healthcare debate.
Right.
And it's easier to get a handle on that.
Absolutely. May was nuts.
Well, here's what's funny. Try to think of what happened in February.
Oh, come
what happened in February?
On. Okay, February, I would guess.
There's only one thing I remember from February.
February would have been hearings. It would have been Betsy DeVos. It would have been... Ben Carson, Mattis. I assume it was
right.
And then all the insane stuff.
Well, there
that
were hearings before he took office, though. Right.
Oh, that is true. There were,
isn't it crazy we can't think of it? Like, I wrote about all of these every day. I don't even remember what closer looks we did in February.
Right. Yeah, of course, a lot of those hearings would have been before he was inaugurated.
All I remember is him, obviously. I'm pretty sure him thinking Frederick Douglass was alive was in February.
Yeah, he was a good guy. A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, just...
He's getting recognized more and more.
Constant electoral tweets. Yeah. I feel like there were a lot of those in February. Yeah. I think a lot of
There was a lot of that in April, though, because of 100 Days and all his 100 Days interviews.
And printing out the maps.
Printing out the maps and showing them to people.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is where we are at.
Yeah. So, well...
All right.
Another amazing thing, by the way, is that the president can declare a budget, and even Republicans on Congress are away calling it dead on arrival.
Yeah.
Also,
John McCain called it dead on arrival on our show.
A testimony to the fact that, like, political gravity exists for some things, at least.
Right. I mean, the cuts in that were so severe and so massive, there were a few other ways to kind of talk about that budget that
Trump bums out Pope happened a couple days ago. Yesterday?
The Pope is yesterday.
I honestly looked at the piece of paper. I thought May 24th, and I was like, okay, that was like 5 days ago.
The Pope was yesterday. Yesterday was a big one. The CBO report, the budget.
Mm-hmm.
No, the budget was the day before. Pope meeting, and then just a classic congressional body slam.
Oh, yeah. Your standard body slam.
Oh, man. See what June holds.
Yeah.
Let alone next week while we're off June. Okay, wait. Before we go, I want to...
Yeah.
This is a fun game for the listeners to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mental exercise, more of a game.
Okay.
Picture where the Trump administration is in 2.5 years.
Two and a half years
from now. So if you say he won't be president anymore, what happened?
You mean play like close to the election?
Like 2.5 years. Just what's going on 2.5 years from now? Or let's say 2 years. 2 years from now. Where do you envision the Trump presidency?
Like two and a half years from now is basically the end of 2019, right?
Yes.
So like the year out, a year out essentially from the election.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So the camp, but let's ignore the this 2019.
So essentially,
this
election, just making predictions about what we think is going to happen to Trump.
It's such a challenging mental exercise to imagine the Trump.
Oh,
White
yeah.
House
well, nobody should, anybody who's in the business of making predictions.
No, not even a prediction. It's just, it is so mentally exhausting for me to think about how much has happened in 120, 30 days.
Yeah.
2.5 years from now, what does the Trump White House look like?
I mean, it's like thinking about what, you know,
yeah,
what we'd be able to download our brains into computers in 30
right.
years.
It is,
like, I have no idea.
I can't even begin to have a framework of what that might look like.
I'm a guy who's probably going to become a member of Congress tonight. Just body slammed somebody.
Yeah.
So in 2.5 years, it could turn out that Trump did shoot somebody.
That
on
guy
Fifth
might
Avenue
be running
got
for
away
president.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The congressman from Montana.
Yeah.
Might be primarying President Trump and they're body slamming each other.
He's running on a ticket with Stone Cold Steve Austin or something like that. Body slammers going around the country, body slamming people. People are like,
yeah.
Yeah. He's like some sort of vigilante.
Just
like
body slams around any sort of danger. Yeah.
But like reporters specifically.
Not danger.
Yeah. Like a conservative vigilante. Like,
you know, reporters.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a challenging thing.
Yeah. So who knows?
Who knows? That's right. We'll be back in 2.5 years to let you know.
All right.
Maybe before then. Well, cheers.
Oh, yeah. Cheers. We'll drink the last of our scotch.
In these paper cups.
It's really having like 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night. So having an average of like maybe 4 hours of sleep a night and then drinking scotch. Drinking like half a bottle of scotch is like my brain feels like soup right now.
Yeah. Should you order a car to get home?
No. I'm dry. I'm fine.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. All right.
I'll get you a car.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, Henry.
Bye, Sal. Bye, listeners.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.